Now may we turn, please, to the 20th chapter of Exodus. And the Ten Commandments, which we have been expounding. And in the 12th verse we read, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." We interrupted our series of messages on the Ten Commandments as we came into the Easter season. And I have already delivered one sermon on this fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. But I indicated that I desired to bring a second message on this commandment in reference to the second part of that commandment, that thy days may be long upon the land. And when you turn into the sixth chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And what I desire to do is to discuss with you the promise. Why is it there? What is the nature of this promise attached to a commandment? And what are the blessings that follow from this particular promise which God has attached to this fifth commandment? I have sought in this exposition of the Ten Commandments to point out to you the order that there is in them. First, we have the first table, the table that deals with our relationship to God, the first four commandments. We have the second table, that portion which deals with our relationship to our fellow man, and that is the last six commandments, which begin with this fifth commandment. I have sought to show you the progression, first from the first commandment to the second to the third, and the third to the fourth. There's a progression there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This matter of God, and then His worship, and then His name, and then His day. Now we come into the realm where we deal with our relationship to our fellow man, and you find the same identical progression and relationship between these commandments. Actually, the law of God is one. It's perfect. It is a unit. What God is determines what He desires of us. And this is expressed to us in the separate tables of the Decalogue, but they're all related, they all are tied in one with the other, and the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And it's this mighty standard which God has given us, which is summarized here in the Ten Commandments. Now when you come to our relationship to our fellow men, we begin with the family. And that's where man is born onto the earth. You begin with the family, which has the responsibility of bringing life into the world. And it's here that the human creature arises as a member of a family. And consequently, when we come to discuss the whole question of man's relationship to his fellow man, we begin at the place where the child is born. He's born into the family. And with that, we have this mighty, mighty commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. They gave you birth. They brought you into this world. And consequently, when we have this commandment that begins with the beginning of human life and the care of the family as God has ordained it in His creation, God says, if you will do this, you will have a blessing from heaven.
God attaches the one promise in all the Ten Commandments to this one that relates to the child and the home and the family and the bringing of life into the world. But if we're going to understand what this promise means and why it's there, we must recognize that we are dealing here with not only the source of life, the family, but we're dealing with the source of authority, the family. When a child is brought into the world, it is the responsibility of that mother and that father who united to give that child its life, to take care of that child, and to teach that child, and to look after that child. And the responsibility for looking after children is the responsibility of the parents. That's where God has placed it. That's where the creation ordinance lets it rest. And our concern is that we must guard the family, protect the family, and honor the family. And that's why we are so disturbed when you have your marriage vows and they're broken and family goes to pieces and we have broken homes and all the sorrow and tragedy that accompanies a situation such as that. But this commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long, give to us the source of authority. The parent is responsible for his own flesh and blood. That is ordained of God and it's recognized in this commandment. Now what I wish to do is to point out two things that are set forth in the Scripture. Two of them. As it relates to the blessing that God has promised in this commandment. The first that I wish to point out is that the blessing is there, and it's a blessing which God has attached to the proper submission and recognition of authority. This is the order that God has made. And God has established the order so beautifully, and so well balanced with the mother and the father and all that he wants to give to that child, that when that order is honored, God will bless that home and he'll bless that person with length of days upon this earth. When you begin to look into this commandment and you see how God has the authority placed upon the responsibility of the parent, and then sees the relationship to that in the rearing of that child, you can understand that in the good order that is here established, there will be blessing. May I say to you parents listening to your pastor right now, the greatest responsibility you have upon this earth is to train your children in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave them to you. And it's your duty to look after them, to protect them, to guard them, and to instruct them. Now when we take this matter of order, this matter of authority, we find that in our own catechism, the Westminster Assembly's larger catechism, that our fathers, when they summarized the teaching of the Bible, they went into more detail at this point in analyzing this commandment than they did of any other of the Ten Commandments. There are more questions and more answers in relationship to this fifth commandment in our own great confession of faith than any of the other Ten Commandments. Now may I just read you some of these, and I want you to see how our fathers, when they looked at this commandment, looked right straight down through it into this great question of authority. Here's question 123, which is the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Question 124, who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? Answer, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinances are over us in places of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. Here's your family, here's your church, here's your state. And you start out with the family and the responsibility of the family and the mother and father for that child. And I tell you, beloved, in the field of education, you see it today, the responsibility for the education of the child is the parents, and it's not the state. The state has moved in to protect and to aid, but the divine responsibility is upon the parent. Furthermore, when you come to the whole matter of the state, according to our concept of it, rests upon the consent of the governed. That's where it rests. And you get into this whole idea of authority, and the whole thing stems from the birth of the child into the family, the responsibility of that family, and that family must hold that child in its care, and that family must teach that child its relationship to the state, and that family must take that child to the church of God where it can hear the word of God and recognize the order that God has established in his church. Now when I get down to this area in the Confession of Faith of our Catechism, we're coming to the very basic and elementary and rudimentary questions that have to do with your responsibility for what God has put in your care. And if we could impress this upon parents, if we could get homes and have children in those homes which would respect their mother and their father, who would be taught to give them their reverence and their due honor, if we could have children who would be reared in families where they were taught their position and their place, that would reflect itself in how they conduct themselves when they go to school. And that would reflect it how they conduct themselves when they go to church. And that would reflect it in how they conduct themselves in relationship to the police of the town and the ordinances and the laws that are set up in our free society. Beloved, this fifth commandment puts its finger right at the very heart of our need and our trouble, and that is the home. That is the family. That is the place where the little one comes and breathes its first breath of air, and it's laid tenderly in the arms of its mother, and its father looks down upon it and says, "This is a gift of God to us." And because it is a gift of God to us, you have a responsibility under God to see that that child is nurtured and fed and cared for and protected and guarded, so that when it reaches the years of accountability and discretion, it will believe in our God and it will be a good citizen of this land of liberty. Furthermore, may I say at this point, oh, how you need to hear the law. Oh, how the church needs to hear the law. Oh, how the people of God need to attend to the law as God has given to us in His Word. But when you begin to look into this law and see what it demands in what it says up to the family and the responsibility upon a young couple, that young couple ought to rise up with the greatest of rejoicing and the greatest of thanksgiving that God Almighty has so ordained it that He can give to them these little ones, and then they can spend their years in teaching and training and praying for them and helping them that they too may serve the living God. I don't think I'll go ahead and read these questions of inferiors to superiors, superiors and equals to equals. There are many of them here. But we must learn our relationship to our parents. And the parents must learn their relationship to their children. And turn, please, to Ephesians, please, the sixth chapter, because here it's in your Bible. And I'll point it out to you, the order here. That's so beautifully set forth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know what's right? Because the commandment says so. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know why it's right, young man, for you to obey your mother? Because God says so. You know what's right, young man, for you to listen to what your father has to say to you?
Because God says that. God says it to you. This is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, first we've been talking here to the children who are responsible to the parents. And now you have ye fathers, ye are the superior ones, you have the authority over them. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you have the children on one side and you have the fathers on the other side. And the children are commanded to obey their parents in the Lord. That's the only restriction there is there. Even the little boy, even the little girl, is under the commandments of God. And if your mother or your father were to tell you to go out and murder your brother, you'd have to disobey your mother and your father, because they have no right to command you to go out and murder your brother. And the law of God, as it relates to the father, relates to the son. And children must obey their parents in the Lord. And then this passage goes on and says, you fathers, you watch your responsibility, and don't you provoke them to wrath in your discipline, in your order, in your commandments. Don't you command them unlawfully. And do you know what this does, beloved? This brings the father, this brings the mother to the place where they want to know the law of God so they can teach their sons aright. And this brings the children to the place where they want to know the law of God, so they can duly respect and honor their parents who gave them their life. Well, you have this same order. Notice, if you will, please, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And here's the master-servant relationship. And the next two verses talk to the servants. And then verse 9, and ye masters, do the same thing. So you have a relationship here between the master and the servant. You have a relationship here between the man who is the employer and the employee, and that relationship in society where one works for a wage and one makes a profit. And that area is clearly set forth here in the Word of God. And I don't hesitate to say it, and I'd say it many, many times, that if the masters in our society had treated the laboring man more justly and as he ought to have been treated, we wouldn't be tied up in some of the big labor knots that we're tied up in this country today, and we wouldn't have some of the labor unions that we have on our hands today. And it's right in here in the Word of God. And that's why I've been a strong believer, and I'll always be a believer, that this nation of ours needs one thing today. It needs one thing above everything else. It needs to hear the Word of God. It needs to hear the law of God. It needs to hear the righteousness of God. It needs to hear these mighty things which are set forth here in the Scripture. And we come now to this great commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, let's look at the natural order as God has established it. You know why God wants you to obey your mother, young lady? You know why God wants you to obey your father, son? Do you have any idea why He'd like to have you do it? For your own good. Let me give you two or three illustrations. Mother says, son, don't you play out there in the street. Be careful. Don't you get too near that street. Son comes in. Mother says, son, I saw you out there on the walk. I saw you run out in the street after your ball. Don't you play out there in that street. You know what the little boy does?
He continues to play. He says, "Mother's not looking at me now." And that ball fumbles out across the street. He runs rushing out there, and bang, comes down a truck or a car, and he swerves, and there's screeching of brakes, and you hear a cry, and the little boy's hit. And that's happened hundreds and hundreds of times. But what happened? Mother says, "Son, don't play in the street." The little boy disobeyed his parents, played in the street. What happened? Lost his life. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You can pick up these newspaper stories. You can pick up them day after day. This little girl, something happened to her. Something happened to this little boy. Something happened, and you look in those stories, and back in them you'll find that some child, some boy has disobeyed some injunction, some commandment, some word that the mother's given to them, and they went out and they got tangled up, and what happened? They suffered loss. Now it's easy to take illustrations like this. Let me tell you another one, son. Were you ever tempted to go out in the kitchen and get into the nice can of cookies that Mother just baked a little while back? Mother says, "Son, don't touch the cookies. Don't touch the cookies. I'll give you one. We're saving those. But you go out and get the cookie jar." And Mother says, "If you eat those cookies and eat too many of them, you'll get the stomachache." That's right. You just go out there and you just eat those cookies and you'll get the worst stomachache you had in a long time. Why? Because you didn't do what your mother said. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long." Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure your mother, she baked the cookies because she wanted you to have the cookies, but she didn't want you to have all the cookies at once. She wanted to spread them out so you could enjoy them. But you liked the cookies so well, and your eyes got bigger than the cookies, and your stomach wasn't quite as big as all the cookies, and the first thing you know, you had trouble. Is that right? That's right. That is an illustration of what God is saying right here. Your mother and your father have taught, they've been learned, they've had experience, they know some of these things, and when this mother takes her daughter aside and says, "Now, young lady, I want to tell you some things," and that mother talks to her little girl and she tells her some things, that little girl ought to listen to what her mother says. And that's what this text means. You honor your mother and your father, and God will bless you, and you won't suffer loss. But you dishonor them, and you disobey them, and you start off and begin to mock at them in this way, and just as certain as you're alive, you're going to get caught up in some of the experiences of life that are going to cause you great pain, great loss, and maybe great embarrassment. It's because you didn't listen to your mother. Because you didn't listen to your father. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now the illustrations that I've used up to the present moment have been about the children. And when they're young and right in that area. And it's right at that point that God lays upon the parent the responsibility to discipline that child. To bring that child to the place where he will obey. And he'll recognize that there's a penalty for disobedience. Will you turn with me, please, over to the 29th and the 30th chapters of the book of Proverbs. And see what King Solomon has to say about these very matters to the people of God. But in the 17th verse of the 30th chapter and in the 15th verse of the 29th chapter, I read, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Verse 17, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." And here is the place where the responsibility for discipline, for proper correction, The responsibility which the mother has in dealing with her little child and beloved according to this Bible, you can't start too soon in teaching them that there is some order and that there is such a thing as right and wrong and that there's a God in heaven and that there is a Savior who saves. You cannot begin too soon taking these little impressionable minds which are put into your hand to teach them that there must be order, authority, and discipline. But notice now that 17th verse. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. You young girls around here and some of you young boys that make sport of your parents and you mock at them behind their backs, just beware of the fact that God Almighty knows it. And God Almighty is going to hold you accountable for the treatment which you give to those who He made your parents and in whose care He placed you. And it's one of the signs of the latter days. And will you turn with me, please, to this epistle, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and you'll find that one of the great signs of the latter days, as they're enumerated here, is that children shall be disobedient to parents. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without natural affection. Without natural affection. I don't know whether any of you people saw the stories in the paper this week about the governor of the state of New York, Governor Roosevelt. Governor Rockefeller. But here he was married, and his wife got a divorce from him. Children were divided, his grandchildren all upset. And now the story is that during the last political campaign, that in the office in New York, there was hired this woman, one of the social elite, who's married to a doctor who was employed by the Rockefeller Foundation. And that this affair struck up, and now she's just gotten her divorce. And the story is that he and she are getting married now, and as soon as he signs the bills for the state of New York, and they're flying off down to Venezuela for their honeymoon. She has 5 children of her own, her husband and her children. What's happened to them? And you look at that situation, beloved, and I want to say to you, it is a disgrace, an utter disgrace to the state of New York. And I wish we had enough moral conviction in this country that it would keep a man like that from even being candidate for the President of the United States. But here you have a man who lays his wife aside and his children and his grandchildren, and then he goes here, another home broken up, and this wife of this other man, she comes now, and they were all working together in the same office in the political activities of New York, and he's going off now with this other woman. And this is the breakdown of the home. And children not only need fathers, but they need grandfathers. And this whole succession that's built into this commandment here unites this family. And no wonder the Lord God Almighty said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And when you take a marriage vow, that is a vow until death do we part. Not until we meet some other woman in some political campaign and decide we'll break up and get together. And it's this breaking down of these moral foundations in our social life right now, which is shattering the home. It's the home that's suffering. And the home here is guarded in the very first of the commandments that deals with that portion that has its responsibility for man to man. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now I've been pointing out to you that here's an order. And it's God's order. And when the parents instruct their children and the children disobey, calamity comes and disaster comes. And the child must respect the position which he occupies under his father and under his mother. And I'm certain that homes will honor this and respect it where they hear the preaching of it and where they believe there's a God who's righteous in the heavens. But there's still another reason why God Almighty wants it this way. There's still another great reason set forth in the Scriptures why this commandment says that with long life will He satisfy. And that reason is that God Almighty desires that the entire family be unbroken throughout the ages of the ages with Himself. Oh, beloved, it is the desire of Almighty God that when a child is brought into this world, not only that he has order so far as the home and society and the church is concerned, but that that little child comes to know Jesus Christ is a saved human being and then is set out to establish a home and to carry on the cycle for his generation and for his day. And beloved, God Almighty says that I will bless with long life a man like that, and that kind of a man will be here on this earth a good while to testify to me. That's what he means by it. And God wants you to live, beloved. He doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live a long time on this earth so you can be a witness and a worker for the Son of God. And the greatest thing you can do on this earth, beloved, as you seek to glorify God, is to speak for Him and to testify for Him and to live for Him and let His knowledge be known among men. And man's chief end is to glorify God. And when God says, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land, God says, I want you to live a long time so you can be a good worker and a good witness unto me, unto me, the living and the true God, who hath provided this glorious redemption for you. But you know, beloved, that God wants of you, He wants of your children, He wants of your family, He wants of everything that you have. He wants it. And He wants it to serve Him. He wants it to glorify Him. He wants it to please Him. And oh, beloved, don't take too loosely. Take time. Take what is necessary to give these children what they need. And with the apostasy, with the ungodliness, with all these issues, beloved, as I see what's shaping up, and when I see the president of my great republic get up and praise the pontiff in Rome as he's done today, and I realize he did it yesterday, and I realize the implications of all of that in our national life and the future of our country, it just shakes you clear down to your feet. There are more things happening than we can take care of. And how in the world will we ever be able to communicate the ideas and the principles involved to these little children in our midst? We need Christian homes which will take these children and have some family altars and take some time to teach them to discuss these issues and talk about them at their tables and be with them constantly so that they'll understand the things for which their father stood. And then when they get out into life, they won't turn against you. They won't repudiate you. They won't say, well, he had some old fogey ideas that we can't accept today. No, they will be committed to the law of God and to the righteousness that's set forth in these mighty Decalogue, the Ten Commandments of our God. But I can't discuss an issue like this with you from this fifth commandment without, of course, bringing out the greatest of all. This is not the law of man. This is not a statute that's been handed down to you by the church. This is not something that's related to esteemed and honored tradition. This is the law of God. And if you're going to face up to it, as you must face up to it, you must have the help and the blessing of God. And consequently, when you speak on any one of the commandments, it makes no difference which one it is, or whether you come to all the commandments, you come back to the fact that sin is the transgression of the law. Here you come back to the fact where you say, as a father, I didn't do it. As a mother, I didn't do it. And you see your sin in relationship to this commandment. And you see where you failed in your relationship to this commandment. And you see how when your own children reached the years when they should have known better, they were very impudent and they were disrespectful of proper authority. You see this thing and you realize that something's happened. Beloved, I say to you at this present moment, when you reach that place, you look up to God and you say, Lord, forgive me for my failures. Forgive me of where I went astray. Forgive me for my lack of information. And you ask God to forgive you for your failure. And then you turn to God and you say, oh God, give me wisdom and understanding in dealing with my children. Give me wisdom and understanding in dealing with my family. And where do you get it? You get it from God. You get it from your Lord. And if you're going to honor this commandment as a redeemed man, you must have the help and the grace of Almighty God to do it. And that's where the dear mother, as God gives her her offspring, and she looks into its face and she says, I love it, but Lord God, help me, help me, help me. And then they turn to the Bible and they come to the church and they hear the preacher and they want to find out what's best, what's right. Every mother, every father wants the best for his child, and the best that you can give to your child is the law of God. And with it, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with it, all the joy of seeing God work. Train up a child in the way that he shall go. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And isn't it interesting and how beautiful it is that in the homes where there is love and understanding and respect, and there is true discipline and authority in those homes, it may seem a little hard for a little while, young lady, when you get a switching. It may not seem too good, young man. It may not seem too good right now. But after you get a little older and you've lived a while and learned a few things, you'll maybe wish your father had whipped you a little harder than he did. That's the way it affects you. And then when you get down to the end of the years and you look back down the span of life, you'll say, yes, the commandment was righteous. The commandment gave unto us what we needed in the rearing and in the training of our children. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. This, the apostle said, is the first commandment with promise. And it's the only commandment with promise. And I think it continues from the day that you're born until the day that they have left, and even in honoring their hallowed memory. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for this word. We thank Thee that as we see the order and as we see the blessing, we thank Thee that all through these generations Thy people have had this commandment, and that it's been such a tremendous impact in their lives. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Hymn number 560, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. 560.
1963. This is their latest, looks like Life magazine, slick and polished, it's very nice. You can buy this on the newsstand in Collingswood if you want to. You can get it most anywhere. It's communist propaganda of the slickest and most deceptive kind. Got two nice looking boys. By the way, look like they come from the choir. You see the little choir? Room? See my choir here? There it is. And you open it up to the front page, and you see a picture here of the Soviet, here it is, the Presidium. Here's Khrushchev. Here's the Supreme Council of the Soviet right there. You see it back there? Supreme Council. And across the top of it, just across the top of the page, in great big bold letters for everybody to enjoy, of the people, by the people, for the people. What is it going to take to convince the church people of America? What is it going to take the American people to turn their back upon this National Council of Churches? The kind of leadership they're offering this nation when they'll catch the hand of Nicodemus and welcome him to this country. Well, while I have this magazine in my hand, I'll just show you something else. They love to use the church. You turn over to page 7, and what is it? Here's the picture of a clergyman. He is the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay. He's seated there talking in a mic. We're told that he's just been over to Russia, recently visited the Soviet Union at the invitation of the Patriarch. The world must disarm. That's under his... The world's going to have to disarm, he said. And then, of course, he has the concluding quotation, "Peace is freedom." No, my friend, the Soviet peace is slavery. The Soviet peace is death. That's what it is. The same approach that you and I made 10 years, 25 years ago in dealing with the great struggles to try to save our church has to be made now to try to save our country. And the same tactics that they used to take over the United Presbyterian Church and bring that church to a place where its leadership will do business with the communists. That same type of approach is being made in our national life to bring our nation to the place where we will be willing to do business with the communists. The parallels are there, and we see them. But who is this Archbishop of Canada? He's a president of the World Council of Churches, elected at New Delhi. So they feature his picture to the American people. And this archbishop was in our country in October as the guest of the Episcopal Church. And he was received in the White House by President Kennedy. So they take these men who are recognized and who have high position, and they put them in their communist publications to use them so that the young mind and the young man and the man in America who's indifferent to these issues will just drift along and we will just accept it. You people hear our broadcast, and beloved, I as your pastor thank God that you people permit me to have such a broadcast and remain your pastor. But as I go to that microphone every day to pour out my soul in behalf of the righteousness of God, as we find it in the law of God, and as I go before that microphone to tell men that there is a remedy for sin, and that remedy is in the cross of Christ, and I tell men that there can be a deliverance from slavery, but that deliverance is in the power of God, we must have the help of Almighty God to help our nation and to deliver us at the present time. And this is no time for you to say, "Well, I can't face these things. We've got too much trouble, beloved." The sooner we face it, the quicker this nation is alerted. The sooner this nation rises to this great issue, the better it's going to be for our grandchildren and for all that you and I hold dear as men and women. No man could stand in a pulpit and talk like this in Russia. It's impossible. No man could stand in a pulpit and talk in defiance, as I have today, of this great communist conspiracy in East Germany. It wouldn't last very long. Can't be done. But it's still possible to do it in the United States of America. It's still possible in this land to take the Bible and to take a text from the lips of Jesus Christ. Beware of false prophets who come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of them.